Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." When a member of our congregation gets called to the Lord, I love to read this text with the family members who remain. It gives this wonderful picture of the heavenly reality that our loved ones are now experiencing in heaven. We call it the church triumphant. Triumphant meaning that they have already one. They are in triumph. They are in glory. And that's so countercultural to what we know about life today. In our world, to every other source, death, it seems like defeat. It seems so final. And yet as Christians, we're blessed to know the exact opposite. That death is not defeat. It isn't the end, at least not for those who die in the faith. For those who are granted and retain their faith for their entire life until their last breath, they actually win. There is no defeat in death for them. They triumph. And that's not to say that death is a good thing. Death is never part of God's plan. It's part of that sin-filled aspect of this world, which is why death hurts so much. But Jesus repurposes death. He makes it into a triumph. And as our text just described for us, what happens when someone dies is that they enter into God's nearer presence. They enter into God's rest. And all of his goodness, right? We saw that, right? No tears, no pain, no heat. God is just constantly and continually pouring out his blessing on them. The reality is that Christians, when they give up their last breath, they die knowing that it really isn't their last breath. That because Jesus himself entered into death in order to conquer it, and because Jesus came back to life on the third day, we know that we too will enter into that same reality. We will be raised in our bodies to breathe again. Death is something that Jesus overcomes. Which leads us to notice the description of this church triumphant. Why is the church triumphant? Why do they receive any of these blessings from God to begin with? It's because they have washed their robes. They have been made white with blood. And that kind of seems strange to us, doesn't it? You know, we all know what happens when we get like pasta sauce or something red on a white article of clothing. White plus red equals stain. It equals trash. It equals this is destroyed now. But that's not the picture that we get here in Revelation. No, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ, it is poured over the saints and it makes them white. It makes them pure. It makes them holy. It makes them unstained. Jesus sheds his blood on the cross. That way it might be poured out for the entirety of the Christian church. That way it might be poured over you. My friends, in Christ, you are forgiven. You are holy. You are innocent. You are pure. And it means that you will join God's saints in his heavenly presence. It's a wonderful gift. But there's obviously a problem. As I said, I like to read this text with the family who remains after their loved one has departed to be with the Lord. And it means that there is another side to the church, and it's the side that isn't exactly, I mean, that we're still receiving goodness from God. We still have great blessings in this life. Don't think anything different. But we're not experiencing the same reality that the church triumphant is. Because we're in the other half of the church. It's called the church militant. Militant as in military. As in there is a battle to be fought. It's a battle between heaven and hell. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between belief and unbelief. And right now, in your current reality, in your current state, you are a part of the church militant. You haven't triumphed by sharing in physical death with Christ. You're still, as our text called it, you're in the great tribulation. So while we do have wonderful blessings from God, we still experience the hardships of this world, right? Things that we always associate with sin, right? Satan and his minions are fighting against us to tempt us into sin or to despair or to lose our faith. We experience doubt and uncertainty. We endure hardship and illness and death. The difficulty of losing those we love. What else does the church militant have to deal with but hunger and thirst and scorching heat and pain? We get distracted from the truth and the darkness. It always seems to be just around the corner, right? We might get through one thing or another, but you know what? There's always another thing to get through on the next day. It's always lying in wait. There's always another thing to contend against. And it will happen for you, and it happens for your children and your grandchildren and on down the line, because it's been happening since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. That's the church militant. Struggle after struggle, fight after fight. That's why it's called militant. And it means we need to be aware. Be aware that you're in this church. You need to be prepared. You need to understand what is trying to destroy your faith. You need to be aware that there are powers in this world that don't want you to be a Christian. They don't want you to ever enter the church triumphant. They're literally trying to tear you down. And so as Christians, as those who are militant, we fight with vigor, with aggression even, with assertion. To do anything less is just to sit there in apathy. Who do we become? We're those who are ever susceptible to Satan's lies. And so we need to fight against the doubt, against the uncertainty, against the hardship, against the pain, against the suffering, against the illness, against the hunger and thirst, and whatever else might lead us away from Christ. The sad truth is that this life, it's hard. It's a struggle. Because we're soldiers in this church. But we don't do the fight alone. We don't have to engage in this fight by ourselves. Jesus gives the church militant himself. Jesus is the one who fights for us. He gives us the ability to remain in the faith. He gives us the one, or really there's more than one, but he gives us the things, the tools that we need in order to remain faithful. Word and sacrament. We get initiated into this church militant by our baptisms. And the Lord promises that you are his child, and he welcomes you into this reality. And then all as we live through these baptized lives, what does he do? He pours his word into our ears. That way it might silence the voices of the world, silence the voices of Satan, even sometimes silence the voices of sin that are in ourselves. And it strengthens our faith, and it gives us the power to carry on. He gives us his body and blood. We physically eat Jesus' body. We physically drink his blood. And why? Because he strengthens us from the inside out. He becomes a part of us in a very physical way, that we might be clean, that we might be ready as we live in the church militant. And so this is why as Christians, he calls on us to make frequent use of these things,
to not forsake them, to not leave them behind, to not despise them or treat them as something that is small or common, but to use every opportunity to receive this. Because it's only in the strength of what Christ gives us that we will be transferred. Transferred to the church triumphant. I mean, you do want to join the church triumphant, right? Maybe not today, right? Of course, not today. Like, none of us are trying to hasten our death. But truth be told, when we're in eternity, we don't want to endure the fires of hell. No, we want to endure all of those blessings that we heard about in this text. That God will shelter us with his presence, that there'll be no more hardship, that all tears will be wiped away. That's what we want. And especially to be united with the rest of the church triumphant. Because there certainly are people that we love who have been called to the Lord. Jesus promises you entry into this church through your faith, and yet there's something else we need to talk about before we can conclude for this morning. Now, I make this sort of dichotomy, the church militant, the church triumphant, but truth be told, they're not two churches. They're one church. In fact, we do confess that in the creed, don't we? I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. There is one church. The church militant, the church triumphant, they are not two, they are one. They just live in different states. The church triumphant is in God's presence, experiencing only God's blessing. The church militant, while still living in a sin-filled world, we also are in God's presence. Especially today. We gather into the Lord's house to be in God's presence. And of course, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to have the Lord's Supper today. Jesus physically present with us. You see, it's faith in Jesus Christ that unites us. If the saints who have gone before us, who are in heaven, are in Christ's presence, and if we have come here to be in Christ's presence, you know what that means? It means that we are all together. That those we love who have died in the faith, they're not really that far away. Because they're here, right now, rejoicing in the same gifts of Christ that you are rejoicing in today. My friends, today is All Saints' Day, or at least our celebration of it. And we all have someone we love who we're no longer with. Someone who has been sainted, who now enjoys just what we read about in Revelation 7. And honestly, that reality hurts. Death hurts. But Jesus can, and he does do something about death. He himself enters it. And he himself breaks the chains of death. He conquers what death, the death that could never be conquered. He comes back to life. And you know, on the last day, when he comes again riding on the clouds, he will raise all people into their bodies. And for those in the church, they'll be raised with his everlasting and eternal blessing. And we'll all be one in triumph. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.